You're listening to Digital Creator. You're also listening to a man who is on the verge of losing his voice, I think. You can probably hear in my voice it's a little bit deeper than it normally is. And that's because I went to Podcast Movement Evolutions here in Los Angeles today. If you're not familiar with Podcast Movement, it is, as far as I know, the longest, largest running podcast conference. And what Podcast Movement Evolutions is like here in Los Angeles is, imagine this, your typical, you know, hotel conference, large conference rooms. They got a bunch of rooms booked out. They have a bunch of talks about podcasting, and then they have a bunch of vendors right outside the conference rooms, everything from like podcast hosting companies to, I saw some AI companies to, what else was there? That was pretty much it, actually. Riverside, if you're familiar with that, the virtual recording company. I saw Podbean, Libsyn, companies like that. And yeah, it was pretty cool. I only caught a couple of talks. It was my first time going. I had not really the opportunity to go for whatever reason in the past. And I made a point that I would only go under one of two conditions. One, that I was invited to speak, because I feel, obviously, like I got a lot to say on podcasting. It's all I talk about. Or two, I was speaking with my friend, Anna Xavier, who has her company, The Podcast Space. She's also a podcast consultant. I said, you know, if you talk at one of these, I'll also go. And it just so happened that she was invited to speak and it was in Los Angeles. So I was like, yes, I got to go. And I was hooked up with the ticket and, you know, I would have gone either way, though, because I'm a man of my word, and I told Anna I would go if she was speaking there. So it was really cool. First impressions right off the bat, I think if you have an intention of why you want to go and maybe can justify the cost, you know, it could be well worth it. As far as, you know, evolutions go, from my understanding, it's one of the smaller ones. There's Podcast Movement, which just the Podcast Movement, that's the larger one. I believe it's, you know, two times larger than Evolutions. I believe there's like 1,000 or 1,500 people at this one in Los Angeles. But I'll tell you what, it is confusing to figure out. They have an app for the event and I'm like trying to figure out what everything means. There's different tracks. There's talks happening at the same time in different places. Like I wanted to catch Anna's talk, sit front row for that. But there's also someone else's talk that I wanted to catch at that same time. So unfortunately, I had to miss that talk. So I caught Anna's talk, which she gave a talk on social media and podcasting, and it was so well done, especially in the time allotted for her presentation. But she did an excellent job, and if I had to just like kind of give a takeaway is there's a lot of value in creating social media content if you tap into the psychology behind why people are using social media. You can also tap into greater engagement. And she shared some screenshots. It was a really great data-driven approach in her presentation. So enjoyed that a lot. And then there was a panel on creator survival by my friend Jay Yao, who previous podcast guest, who gave me a shout out from the stage when I walked in because I got there when he was already on stage, which is cool. And Ariel Nissenblatt, who has also been on this podcast, they were on the stage doing a panel discussion around creator survival, which is such a fascinating topic. And I know one we can all relate with. So that was really cool. It was really cool to also meet up with people who said hi. I've spoken with some people who, I don't know if it's when they're talking to me, they're like, oh, you know, I get recognized in public. Sometimes like they say that. I don't get recognized in public. I've had people after the fact go, oh, I've seen you on social media or whatever, but no one's ever come up to me and as of this recording and been like, oh, aren't you that? No, I don't get that. I'm not recognized. But I've had other people with like followings, I would say smaller than mine, say that they've gotten like recognized in public. I'm like, that's cool. I like privacy, but I also would enjoy too, if you like listen to this, that's cool. Please say hi. But it was cool at Podcast Movement Evolutions. I had some people say, hi, Dylan, like I really enjoy your posts. And to me, I'm like awkward with the compliments. I'm like, thank you so much. But there were some people that shared some really nice words around some really recent posts I had made, particularly on Instagram. And so that was cool. And I just appreciate it. I don't know. Some people are like, eat up the compliments. I find them a little bit just uncomfortable because it's like a moment of being more visible on social media. I post it and then I can kind of move on and then check in and like respond to a comment or a DM or something. But in person, it's like, you know, there's nowhere to go. So it's just like, I'm so grateful and also want to meet you if you listen to this, like also in person, because it's a different thing in person. And that's kind of my big takeaway is just valuing that in person. Virtual is absolutely amazing. I prefer it on so many levels. But I do hope that if you're listening to this, we get to meet in person someday. And I promise it won't be weird. And I promise I'm interested to hear about what you're doing too. Because that was cool to chat with some people and hear about what they're up to and the struggles and the opportunities that they see. And that's kind of the three themes. If you're in the Creator Club, you've heard me say this before, but I talk about the problems, opportunities, challenges. And I like talking about those in person too with people that I meet or when we're just, you know, chatting. It's easier to have like these types of conversations, I guess, in person, but talking about the problems and sharing problems that we're going through or challenges. And then also looking at the opportunities of like, we recognize the problems, we recognize the challenges, but what opportunities do we have that we can do with it, right? Like, you know, some people just, you know, I have one friend and I love him, but he is just like the person serving us at the, you know, a diner. How are you doing? Terrible. You know, he's a great guy, the biggest heart in the world, but that's what he says. But you know, he'll talk about the problems. He's not talking always about the opportunities, you know, and I like diving into the opportunities as well. So yeah, if you have gone to Podcast Movement too, let me know. I'd be curious how your experience was, what you thought of it. And before we move on, I will say too, one interesting side note about industry related things. Afterwards, we went to dinner, a few of us industry folks, and the topic was, what would you think it would be? What are podcasting industry people talking about at dinner? Yes, it was about podcasting. One of the people who I had just met, I believe his name is Seth, he gave a talk on analytics, and I didn't catch his talk because I didn't even know him at that time, and I didn't know there was a talk, and there's all this stuff happening at Podcast Movement. But we were talking about the iOS 17 update, and he was saying that, you know, there's people that, you know, still had no clue about the iOS 17 update and how it affects downloads for podcasts. And, you know, a lot of people have been, I would say, freaking out, but like rightfully so, wondering what's going on with their download numbers, because there's been a huge drop off across the board for podcasts. And so he was sharing basically, you know, if I had to sum up what he gave his presentation on, yes, there has been a huge change in download numbers post iOS 17 update, but download numbers really aren't the best metric to be looking at anyways. Retention rate is a far greater metric and is going to be, you know, telling you the story that you really want to hear. Apple Podcasts is the number one app people are using to listen to podcasts. So that little simple change affected a bunch of download numbers. And that's why we're seeing, you know, such big drop off numbers. But retention rate, which, you know, I recently moved this podcast over to Spotify for Podcasters just to experiment with. And I've been meaning to share that in this podcast, which I have not yet until right now. But yeah, I was on Buzzsprout with this podcast. I moved it over to Spotify for Podcasters, mainly just to see the user experience. I don't know that I'll leave it on Spotify for Podcasters, but I will for at least another month or so. And then I kind of want to try a couple other podcast hosts. Who else do you know switches their hosting services like this? I don't know anyone else who does this. It's maybe not even the smartest move. You know, I wouldn't advise anyone do it, but I'm doing it because it's for science. So yeah, looking at listening retention in episodes is key. If I had a bottom line for you there. Next, I wanted to chat with you briefly about workflows. Do you ever stress test your workflow? Or if I had to say that differently, maybe better, I would say, do you know your workflow for creating content? And this sounds like I'm about to go into like some type of ad or something. I'm not. This is no advertisement. I'm just talking about workflows. It's been on my mind, especially because I'm starting to kind of diagram out in the Creator Club a video interview podcast workflow that is going to be in three parts. It's produce, track, and improve. As I was documenting the workflow, I was like, why do I love this so much? You know, like, why does it bring my brain such pleasure and space to document workflows? I kind of live in two spaces in my head. One is like in the clouds where I'm just free thinking. I'm in the shower, you know, I'm like thinking of new ideas and they're popping in my head. I'm like, wow, this is fun. It just feels like not grounded whatsoever. And then on the flip side, I just love workflows and thinking through logically, like how steps work to achieve a desired result. So it got me thinking like three of my favorite reasons for workflows. And I encourage you to document your workflows if you're not already, even if, and I think I shared this on the last episode, even if you are not outsourcing them yet, it's just a huge gift, really. So three of my favorite reasons for documenting workflows, which, wow, we're in exciting topics over here, but it seriously excites me. So number one is it aligns my thinking. So when I have my workflow documented out, I don't live in that space of like, oh, documenting workflows, but it is so nice to have that documented just to go through the process of this is what I do. And I was sharing this on the Creator Club call, but you know, when you really list it out, you really see how much you do. And we talk so much about, you know, creator burnout and people just struggling to do it all. It's like, if you documented, if you wrote down all the things you do, it's not a mystery of why you can't do all these things. No human like has enough energy to do all these things, right? Unless you have consciously or unconsciously, you have a workflow of what you're doing. I found for me, workflows align my thinking rather than everything being abstract. Like I can be in the shower and have these ideas kind of hit me, but then implementing them consistently. And that's my next favorite thing is it standardizes my outputs. I post a video every single day on social media. I publish this podcast every week. Here I am. It was Podcast Movement Evolutions today, and I'm recording this podcast and I'll get it out. No problem. It's not because I'm a robot. I have responsibilities like the rest of us. I have a business, put out a bunch of content. I have a workflow for this podcast and it standardizes how I get it out into the world. I still feel creative within the container that I've created, but that's part of the workflow. I'm like, all right, we can chat. I want to have three main sections in the podcast I talk about. I know I'm going to do that. So that's like part of the workflow. I know what happens, you know, before, during, and after. Now there's creative excitement that's happening. Like to me, it's exciting even sharing this with you, but that, you know, is not, this isn't a scripted podcast. This isn't, you know, there's certain elements that are like, okay, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that, but there's room for magic, I guess, if you will. But at the end of the day, my output of the podcast is standardized. Then my third favorite thing is it preserves my thinking. So if I was living in that space in the shower of I just having creative ideas all the time, sometimes those carry over when I'm at my desk and it's almost frustrating to be in that space of wanting to be creative and just like, I don't want to actually do executive thinking here and sit down and type out all these things. Sometimes I need to though, because that's what the work calls for. But I've found the workflows help preserve my thinking a bit more too. So instead of like, how do I do this thing from scratch? Whether it's something for a client that might be creative or it might be for what I'm making, if that makes any sense, it preserves my thinking because I'm not like, okay, I have a podcast. What do I talk about in my podcast? And how many subjects do I talk about? Right? I know I'm going to talk about three. I know it's going to be for 20 minutes and that's what I need. And so those three topics, then I have more. I feel like I have more freedom within those topics rather than if you're like, you know, for me, if I was like, I'm just going to talk about anything for, I don't know, we'll see how long it goes. I don't know, 7 minutes, 35 minutes. He's just going to go up there and he's going to ramble, right? That's not going to be good for my mental state because I'm like, how long am I supposed to talk for? If you tell me how long I'm supposed to talk for, then I'll be better than just talk, right? Could you imagine, especially like using podcast movement as an example, just like, hey, go up there and give a presentation. Cool. How long should the presentation be? Don't worry about that. Just talk. Oh my gosh. How nerve-wracking would that be? And then at any point you might just be like, well, I've talked enough. I need to just stop now. So knowing these guardrails and the workflow you create also helps you kind of, it gives you the container that you need to be your best, if you will. And that's, again, just from simply like writing it down. So I'll document all sorts of workflows and sometimes things that like you would have never guessed. But it's just, again, because it does these three things. It aligns my thinking, it standardizes my outputs, and it preserves my thinking. There it is, thinking twice. Last thing is, on the note of too many podcasts, I noticed this even at Podcast Movement today. Someone mentioned that there was like a lot of podcasts. It was a speaker on stage, something about like, you know, oh, there's enough, not enough podcasts, but they hinted something at that. I'm like, what? You know, part of me, give me a microphone. Let me butt in here. I don't mean to butt in, but there actually isn't. And I'll make a case for why. And I wanted to end on this note just because if you have a podcast, it's something to consider. And, you know, obviously I got podcasts fresh in my mind, not only because I'm recording this for you, but because I was just at this expo. On average, there's 38,400 new episodes each day published by podcasts. On average, there's 3.7 million YouTube videos published every day. On average, there's 34 million TikTok videos published every single day. And on average, there's 1.3 billion Instagram posts every single day. 38,400 new episodes each day. 38,000. Now that might sound like a lot. I don't know what that number sounds like to you, but like, would you rather have $38,000 or $3.7 million or $38,000? Using money as a contrast here, like, what? It's insane to think about how many other types of content there is. And I posted, I made a video about this. And on TikTok, I think it, or YouTube, I don't know which platform it was that I was like, I got to stop reading the comments because they're not conducive to anyone's mental health here. But someone was like, you know, well, that's not a fair comparison because people also upload podcasts to YouTube. It's like, okay, but they're publishing it as audio still. So even if we just counted over the 38,000 and the 3.7 million YouTube videos, we're still at how many millions of YouTube videos? A ton. It's not even close. Like, total in the index from podcastindex.org, I believe it is. You know, we're not even scratching the surface of like total. Or total podcast in the index is like 4.2 million, I think. It's insane to think about, you know, in 26 hours or something, there's more YouTube videos that have been uploaded than are all of, you know, podcasts in the index. It's insane to me. Even at a podcast conference, there's a hint of there's already a lot of podcasts. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second. But like, I think there, when you're in it, you're so aware of it. And I feel like I'm kind of in two spots because I'm like social media and podcasts. It is not oversaturated. I was just watching a thing this morning on PBS. It was a YouTube video. I'm not just watching PBS. I'm not 80 years old. I would watch PBS. I just don't even have cable. I just watch YouTube. But I was watching a thing on PBS about, you know, it was something like half of the American population listens to podcasts. And so what? Like 38,000 new episodes a day? This is nothing. I'm telling you, it's nothing. And I hope you kind of understand that in comparison when we look at the numbers of YouTube, TikTok videos, and Instagram posts. It's not a too many problem. It's a discovery problem, like I've been saying since I started on social media. It's a discovery problem. People have issues finding new shows that they like because podcasts, I don't think, do the best at marketing their show. You know, I'm not saying I am the perfect example of like leading by example there. I would like to do a better job at that. But yeah, I think that podcasts are not the best at marketing and getting new listeners. And I don't think it's the listener's fault. And I don't think saying that there's too many podcasts is a valid excuse or a valid reason why anyone should or shouldn't publish another episode. That's all I got for you today. I hope you're doing great. I'll talk to you soon.